Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us. Sectional basketball last night across the state. Lots of good games, a few upsets out there, and also Indiana in action. A loss again. This Indiana team has now dropped four in a row, and you can almost, I believe, all but throw out NCAA tournament hopes out the window. There may still be a path if Indiana can win against Purdue on Saturday and then make a little run in the Big Ten tournament, but this team is sinking. I don't know any way else to describe it, and we'll talk about that game as well today. But in this first segment, let's get into the show lineup first, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In this first segment, we'll be joined by two high school basketball coaches. Andrew Grants of Providence will join us in just a few moments, and then later in this opening segment, Ryan Miller of Providence will join the program as well. Then coming up in segment two, Dustin Dopierak, a regular guest with us on our Wednesday show, joins as we recap the IU-Michigan State game last night and talk about this Indiana team and their continued struggles, and we'll do that coming up with Dustin. And then later in the show on Wednesdays, we always have Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. That segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Lots of high school basketball to talk about. Postseason, of course, Silver Creek wins a state championship on the girls' side. We've been talking about that, and we'll talk about some other sectionals last night as we set things up now for semifinal matchups on Friday. But just a great time of year and a great show today. Two high school coaches, Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier on IU and Josh Cook of the News and Tribune. That's the show lineup. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Last night at Seymour, in the opening game of the evening, Bedford North Lawrence, in really a slowdown type game, especially in the first half, got ahead of Seymour, was able to extend their lead in the second half of play. There were something silly, like 50-something calls, fouls called combined in the game. And I think in that fourth quarter alone, there were 40-something free throws shot combined between both teams. So it seemed like it took forever to get through that first game. I really felt like that may be a battle of a ball game like it was in the regular season when those two met. But Bedford got the sizable win last night in that opening game at Seymour. And now it was Jeff in Jennings County in game number two. And joining me right now to talk about that game and his team is Andrew Grants, the head coach at Jeffersonville in his first season. And, Coach, I tell you what, you maybe shook those nerves early playing on a Tuesday night at Seymour. Your team got the win, played well, and coming into the tournament, seven-game winning streak to close out regular season, and you guys showed no signs of giving that up anytime soon with how you opened Seymour last night.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me on. And, I thought last night that the guys came out ready, and like we talked about after the game, you know, getting that first one out of the way in the postseason is always kind of tough just because of the nerves of it and, you know, just getting used to being a little bit higher stress level with just knowing that it's, you know, win or go home. But I was proud of the guys. You know, Jennings County came out, hit some shots early. We answered back. And, you know, at the one point we were up 14-10, and then we kind of busted it open from there and jumped up 20-10 and felt pretty comfortable once we got to that point, and then was proud of our guys that continued to execute, you know, kind of down the stretch. So the boys have been playing well lately. The thing that I've been really impressed with them is they're just buying into sharing the basketball, playing together, trusting each other. So that we're going to have to continue to do that to move forward in the postseason.
Coach Grants, I think one of the things that makes the Devils so difficult to play against is you never quite know who's going to step up. Last night you had three players in double figures, Fairman with 16, Razor Moore with 16, Stoudemire had 12, and then Will Loving-Swatz was almost in double figures. He had 9 points last night for Jeffersonville. Lots of weapons, and Brandon Razor Moore, he came out of the gate ready to play. He hit that first three-pointer, and or maybe it was a long two, and he had cracked a big smile as he came back down the floor to play a little defense, and you could just tell it was going to be a good night for him early on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing that Brandon's been doing lately that I've been really pleased with is he hasn't just been settling for that outside shot. So if it's earlier in the season, if it wasn't falling early, then he kind of struggled the rest of the game. But what he's really been doing lately is attacking the rim and then also letting his defense create some offense for him. He's our leading shot blocker on the team. And actually, I've got to look at the numbers, but even with the shortened season right now, he's going to finish definitely in the top seven, maybe even the top five for, blocks in a single season at Jeff High School. So, and that's with being five games short of a regular season. So, he's done a great job of doing that and impacting the game in other ways than just hitting his jump shot. So he's been a lot more dangerous lately, I think, just because, he's not as early in the year, I felt like he was, a little more one-dimensional just because he relied on the jump shot so much. But lately he's really been impacting games in so many other ways, and then it makes that jump shot even more deadly.
I'm talking with Andrew Grants of Jeffersonville. We'll be joined here in just a few minutes by Ryan Miller, the coach of Providence, to talk about the Pioneers' narrow victory. They had to hang on to win last night in their first-round game. But, Coach, back to your team, Jalen Fairman, also with 16 points last night. And we've had this conversation before, but since his addition after Christmas break, it was actually after the New Albany matchup, for those thinking back to who you played and how you played against rival teams, he has done a lot. He scores some. He had a great scoring night last night, but he does so many different things, distributing the basketball, moving the basketball up the floor, getting it where you need it to be, and finding the open man. He has just been a tremendous addition. And I think teams like Floyd Central, and we'll talk about that game coming up on Friday in just a moment, but I think teams that have played you before without Jalen Fairman, as they scout you and prepare for you now in postseason play, will notice some big differences.
Yeah, it's a completely different team. I've gone back, getting ready here for Floyd Central and watched our game earlier in the year and just kind of seeing, just kind of how we were playing then and some of the things that we were doing. And it was still early. I mean, new team, new coach, had the beginning of the year where we were on quarantine. So, at that point, we were still trying to find our identity and just kind of see what was our best way to play. And so, yeah, it'll be a little bit different team than what some of the teams that played us, before Jalen came on board saw. And even going back to that, we played I truly believe it wasn't until after Lawrence North, that we really started to hit our stride and understanding what was our best way to play and getting guys in the right spots that they needed to be in and being able to execute those things. So, but Jalen, what he's done for us, he's such a good ball handler and he's so quick that he's able to control the floor and control, all nine other guys when he's out there. But also just his attitude, that he's brought to the team. He's got a toughness to him. He's got a grit to him, and that's carried over to the rest of the guys as well.
Coach Grants of Jeff, my guest. Let's talk briefly for a moment here about the Floyd Central game on Friday. That's a rematch from the regular season. And, of course, a Hoosier Hills Conference opponent and two 13-win teams. Are you and Floyd Central, I think Friday night in general, New Albany-Bedford could be a great semifinal to open the evening at 5:30, and your 7:30 date with Floyd Central, I just don't see how that's not a fantastic high school basketball game.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Floyd, they do a great job. Coach Sturgeon does a great job with them as well. And, the thing that really stands out with Floyd, when you see them, the first thing is their size. So you think, well, man, they've got this great size. They're going to pound it inside, which they're capable of doing. But man, they shoot the ball extremely well. And, they're able to put guys out on the wings and really stretch you out that makes their bigs, that much more dangerous because you can't help off too much. So, they do a really good job of that. And then on the defensive end, they use their length well. They go to that 2-3 zone quite a bit, and they're man-to-man. They really do a good job of keeping the ball in front. So, it's going to be a challenge. I'm excited to see, kind of how we answer back to losing earlier in the year, especially now being at a different point where we are in the season and having that identity as a team and understanding those things and having Jalen with us and all that to see how much that we've improved since last time that we've played them.
Absolutely. Andrew Grants of Jeffersonville, very much, Coach, looking forward to those Friday semifinal games. We'll be there and be on the air at 5:30 for both of those contests. Best of luck to the Red Devils, and thanks for the chat today.
Thank you so much, Matt.
And we continue on talking sectional basketball from last night here in this opening segment of the program brought to you by Zaxby's with Ryan Miller, the head coach at Providence. And, Coach, I saw your quote in the newspaper this morning, and it's a true term this time of year, survive and advance. Your Providence team had a nice lead at halftime. That evaporated late in the game as Austin really went on a run, but you guys able to hang on, actually forced a turnover in that final possession to seal the win, but you survive and advance on to Friday, and that's the name of the game this time of the year.
That's right, Coach. That is the name of the game. I thought we actually played fairly well for the majority of the game. It's one of those we've all seen those kind of games before where you feel like, you know, it's a tough game, a challenging game, competitive game, but you feel like you're in control, and then you kind of blink your eyes a few times, and as you said, it kind of evaporates, and a turnover here, a missed free throw there, and they come down and knocking in, you know, some tough contested 3-point shots, and you look up before you know it, it's right there down to the wire. So that's kind of how it played out down the stretch there, but as you said, you know, you learn from some of that and ultimately survive in advance, move on to the next.
Absolutely. Providence coach Ryan Miller with me. Got to talk about Casey Kalen last night. He had a game-high 21 points or team-high 21 points for the Pioneers. He was excellent, and he's been excellent this season. He's really stepped up for you guys in some of your bigger games and some big situations, and he was no different last night to start sectional play.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm obviously biased, but I think Casey's one of the top sophomores, you know, around this area. He's just, he's such a nice overall player. He not only, you know, does some things on the offensive end with his ability to shoot it, drive it, rebound it, but also on the defensive end. He's just a complete all around player who has a high motor and, is also a good teammate and someone we look to be a leader for us, in the future. It's been great to see his emergence and just knowing that we have, several capable guys with a lot of balance, in terms of we probably have about five guys who are capable of going for double figures. See one guy on our team go for 12 or 15 one night and the next he might have five, it's good to have some of that balance.
Talking with Ryan Miller, the head coach at Providence, the Pioneers hang on 57-55 to advance on to a Friday semifinal game against rival Clarksville, and we'll talk about that game coming up here in just a moment. But, Coach, I know you're glad to have Zach Johnson back in the lineup. He had 7 points last night. I'm not sure exactly how many minutes he got. I'm sure it's not what you would like him to play as he recovers from a knee injury, but he has had a tremendous season, someone else that really took some big steps for you this year, and I know you're glad that he's back in some form or fashion for postseason.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Zach is certainly one of our top players, before his injury, had been our leading scorer and leading rebounder. We're very balanced, we have probably, several guys that are in that, he's at 12 and other guys in that 8 to 10 point range. Losing him was obviously really tough, for him personally to kind of have some of that adversity, but also for our team. It was tough, but ultimately I think some other guys had to step up in his absence and, hoping we're better off for it now, and some guys are, some guys have had to step up and emerge, as more of an impact player in his absence. Now, the situation is trying to assimilate him back into the lineup, which obviously is something we obviously are incredibly glad for, and are, you know, we inserted him directly into the starting lineup, as a matter of fact. But there is an element of everyone kind of hitting their stride again, you know, and getting accustomed to having him back on the court and making sure that we're getting him, you know, some opportunities as well. So it was nice to be able to have that game now under our belt, and hopefully Zach is starting to feel more comfortable and confident out on the floor again, and he did some positive things for us. So we're really, really glad for him and for our team to have him back out there.
You know, Coach Miller, I think in some cases when the draw comes out and your team does not get a bye, you think, oh gosh, we would have liked to have got that advancement on to the semifinal round. But specifically in your case with Zach coming back and just getting another game under your belt in a crazy pandemic season, once you win that Tuesday night game and you know you're headed to the semifinals regardless, I think the mentality for a lot of coaches, and Coach Grant's also alluded to this, is you're kind of glad you got the Tuesday night game and some of the jitters out of the way in advance of the Friday big ones.
Yeah, I could not have said any better, Matt. I agree with that 100%. You think, oh, well, daggone it, would have been nice to have the bye. But ultimately, like you said, you know, if you are able to get through that first game, then you're glad that you got that experience and you got that, you know, sectional game under your belt. And especially for us for this season, as you alluded to, and with Zach coming back, it's definitely a positive, you know, to have had that.
Coach, I think the semifinal games could be good. It'll be interesting to see in the first game at 5:30 Friday at Southwestern if Henryville could maybe pull off an upset. They've had a very solid season, has Coach Hill's team. But mm-hmm. Your game in the second semifinal, it's a very familiar opponent, two 11-win teams, very evenly matched. You know them well from the same town of Clarksville. It's Clarksville against Providence in that semifinal game. And that's always a big game in the regular season. Obviously, in the postseason, there's even more on the line. But you go into this, and I know you'll be scouting, and I know Coach McEwen will do the same, but you know so much about these guys, such a familiar opponent to take on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like you said, that first game will be, I think, you know, has the potential to be a good one. Southwestern, you know, certainly, I think most would tab them as the favorite coming into it, you know, have a great team at their place. But like you said, Henryville's had a really nice season, and they have a very capable ball club as well. So that'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. As for Clarksville, yeah, I mean, as you said it, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, crosstown rivals were just, you know, probably what, a mile away from each other. We both know each other well. They're a well-coached team. Coach McEwen and his boys do a nice job over there. And then they have some really talented players, you know. They you know, have some guys who can drive it, get in the lane. They have some guys who can shoot it. They got some size on the interior, so they have a lot of pieces. And it's going to be a really tough game.
Absolutely, Coach Miller of Providence. Coach, glad to see you hang on for the opening round victory last night, and we wish you the very best the rest of the week for you and your Providence team.
Hey, thank you very much, Matt. Always glad to speak with you and appreciate your coverage.
Absolutely. Coach Miller of Providence, his team headed to the semifinals, and that should be an interesting game. How about this? Jeff Floyd at Seymour on Friday, Clarksville and Providence at Southwestern on Friday. Not only are they going to be some big semifinal games in postseason play, but some rivalry games and very evenly matched games as well. And of course, at Seymour, depending on how things work out in those Friday games, if New Albany beats Bedford, you're guaranteed a local rivalry game in the championship. So we'll see how things play out up at Lloyd E. Scott Gymnasium on this Friday evening. Also, the 1A sectional last night, Hayden Casey, first-year head coach at Christian Academy, a big, big win. They beat a very good Rock Creek team that had been playing some good basketball, 62-49. Lanesville, the favorite, I think you can say, in that sectional. They beat New Washington, although that game was maybe closer than some expected, and those teams advance on to semifinal games in the 1A sectional up at Borden. We turn our attention to Indiana in the next segment. Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier is with me. Things are not good for this IU basketball team, and we'll break it all down next This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
IU took one on the chin last night at Michigan State, and it wasn't what this team needed. Now a four-game losing streak for Indiana, and their NCAA tournament hopes really, really in trouble at this point. And Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier with me on Wednesdays to talk IU basketball and more. Let's start with NCAA tournament hopes. Is there any chance for this Indiana team after the loss last night to Michigan State? Or are they basically going to have to win the Big Ten Tournament Championship to get in the big dance?
Yeah, I mean, it would be really hard for them to pull a miracle at this point. I mean, I'm trying to think any – it's always conceivable just because of the strength of schedule of the Big Ten if they were to get to the title game or something like that. But basically anything that we're talking about that would have to happen is stuff that we've never really seen happen for this program. I mean, even when they were good, they weren't good in the Big Ten tournament. Even when they were a one seed in 2013, they lost in the second round to Wisconsin, and they've generally not performed well in that event. Tack that on that, you know, the last game on the schedule is at Purdue, and a Purdue team that's playing really well and that Indiana hasn't beaten in Mackey since 2013. And that seems like a lifetime ago for both programs. That was a brief sort of, valley for Purdue, and it was a peak for Indiana. And since then, it hasn't been close out there. And I think Indiana's only beat them one time in Assembly Hall in 2016 when they won the Big Ten title. That's it. So no signs point to anything that could happen, you know, that being capable would happen. I guess it's possible if they were to get to the title game. But, I mean, the way they're playing, that doesn't look conceivable right now.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier. Dustin, it's hard to understand this team, even if you didn't watch the game or don't watch all of the games. If you just follow the box scores and who scores, who doesn't, who plays, who doesn't, just very inconsistent across the board with this team. And last night, of all people, with as bad as he's been, Rob Phinisee would probably be your standout player for Indiana. He did not shoot the ball extremely well, but finished with 16 points. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals as well, and played 34 minutes in the contest. He would probably be heading into the game last night, the last player I would expect, win or lose, to be considered maybe the top performer for the Hoosiers with what we've seen from him recently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it was kind of what you want to talk about, he seemed like the one person who really listened to what he was being told, beforehand. Maybe that's not fair. I mean, Al Durham just didn't make shots. I mean, Al Durham, Race Thompson, those guys work hard all the time. You can't really take it away from them. But, you know, Phinisee basically, you know, like that clearly showed that he got the message from Archie saying, you know what, if you go 0 for 10, keep shooting, just attack. That's what we need you to do. And that's the player that, you know, Indiana's been waiting to see for years. Is a guy that would be, you know, would play with some aggression, would not hold back, would try to hunt shots when necessary, and would attack the rim. And he really attacked the rim. And there was one time, I mean, I think he got fouled on a dunk attempt. I mean, he tried to posterize somebody. I mean, Phinisee's got some ups now, which is a thing that you sort of forget because he can disappear so much. But, you know, he's a really good athlete for 6'1". And again, you haven't seen that. You haven't, it hasn't shown up in games a lot, but he was getting after it. I mean, I think there was one really impressive steal when he really dug down to take it out of, I think it was Julius Marple's hands. But just some impressive work, again, just being aggressive on both ends. And you were like, hey, what, why not? Why not all the time? Had some good finishes at the rim, had a couple threes. The only threes that Indiana hit all game were Rob Phinisee threes, which again just seems just bizarre to be saying that. But no, I mean, he clearly was everything that Archie Miller has been asking him to do. It just happened at a time when nobody else was really performing.
Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier, my guest. We're talking about Indiana's loss last night at Michigan State. And Dustin, as this team continues to slide, obviously, there's talk about what's going on behind the scenes and talk about Archie Miller and what his future could be like. And I know I don't want to get into discussion forum and social media fodder, but this has been so widely talked about. Trayce Jackson-Davis clearly was upset with someone last night during the game. And I was at the sectionals up at Seymour trying to watch on my iPad from a distance and went back and watched more of the game in detail later in the evening. But you can see on camera clearly he was not happy with someone if you just read his lips. The question is, who was he talking to in the huddle or as he exited the huddle, whatever the situation was? Did you see that? And I know it's been all over the message boards and Facebook and social media. What are your thoughts on that, and who was he talking to?
Yeah, no, I rewatched it last night because I missed it in real time, basically. I mean, I saw everybody coming over to him. There was that sort of moment out of the, you know, commercial break, and, you know, I wasn't at Michigan State, and I think at the time it was altogether possible that our puppy was jumping up and down on my laptop. those are the obstacles that you have when we're all working from home and stuff. But I think I missed sort of the opening, and I didn't hear what Robbie Hummel said until I went back on a rewatch to check it out. You know, he clearly it did seem like he said the magic word in somebody's direction. And you can't tell with the shot on the Big Ten Network cameras who's there, but it's in the general direction of where a head coach would be sitting down in the middle of a huddle at a timeout. I would also say that the reaction around the huddle was weird, because it's like I think if you would say F you to your coach, you know, directly in right. a huddle, then there would have been a more sort of direct, like, whoa, what are you doing? Wow, like Armand Franklin's got his arm around him and then like whispers in his ear, like, hey man, take it down a notch, you know, come on, you know. But like, you would usually think that particular word, it's directed at the head coach, would elicit more of a everybody get hold on, whoa, you know, reaction. And you would expect the head coach to also react, which you don't see. He's obviously out, whoever he's yelling at is out of the picture. There's some disconnect there. I mean, so there's all kinds of possibilities for context. Like, he just might have been yelling it in general, and, you know, not at anybody in particular, but just, you know, just venting. It's hard to say. And again, it was in the middle of a huddle. And again, you didn't see the reaction, I think, that you would have said if that was directed at Archie, but can't really say, you know. And clearly it was enough that at least three guys, he wasn't in the game afterwards, and at least three guys came up to him to be like, hey man, you do need to take it easy. It didn't seem as desperate, I think, as it would be if it was him getting that much into it with head coach. But clearly Joey Brunk, Rob Phinisee, and Armand Franklin, you all see on camera talking him down, because the Big Ten Network cameras kind of stayed on him after, you know, within a play or during a free throw or whatever, just to be like, all right, what's going on here? So you clearly see there was an issue. Now, Archie Miller was asked about it last night and said, I don't remember the incident you're talking about. Just flat out said he didn't remember it. Archie clearly did not want to talk to us last night. Not at all. Not one bit. So he didn't address that at all. Acted like it never happened. I don't know if it's something that he'll address going forward, but he acted like he didn't even know what we were talking about.
And that's, so, I'm glad you brought that up. That was on my list a little bit later, but we'll talk about it now. The post-game press conference, it's so interesting this year. Those things are on Big Ten Network, and I've probably watched more post-game pressers for other Big Ten teams and other games not involving Indiana than what I ever have before. But Archie last night, and again, I've said, you know, he's not at any time, he's not very talkative. You don't get a lot from him. He's not a coach like Chris Mack at Louisville or Cal at Kentucky, other schools here in our region that a lot of fans follow, that's going to call press conferences during the summer to update things and to kind of keep his team out there in the media and in the newspapers. Right. And that's just not Archie Miller, and that's okay. But the post-game press conferences and his weekly coaches show, and I guess the pregame stuff he does with Don Fisher, are some of the fewer opportunities that fans have to hear from him. And last night, clearly, he was not the same Archie Miller, even more reserved and even more reluctant to speak on any question that was asked, whether it was about a sensitive subject like what we were just talking about or just a general question about the game. So you can clearly tell between the Trace incident, whatever that was, whoever that was directed to, maybe nobody, and then even Archie's demeanor in the press conference, that this team, like fans, are really beginning to, I don't want to say fall apart, but beginning to stress over all of this, the entire situation.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, Archie does try really hard to put a good face on it, and I think he was sort of pushing back at anything else. I'll be honest, I asked just a dumb question last night because two people asked the ones before me that, like, sort of I wanted to ask, and then I just asked him something stumbling over myself about shooting. So it was not one of my proudest moments, but yeah, he was, you know, just had one of those moments like, what was wrong with the shooting? He said, well, the ball didn't go in. Like, yeah, that's obvious. But then he kept going and said, you know, we had T-ball stuff. And I think that sort of also told you that he is just really bothered. And he also does sort of feel like I'm giving you guys this and you're failing. And so that's, I think, a little bit of an unraveling point. I think that's something that does certainly bother, I think, fans about Archie, is that he's oddly candid, even though he's really kind of emotionless when he gives the answers. He's generally pretty you know, he's honest. He doesn't hold a lot back about, you know, what he thinks is going wrong. But it also comes off like somebody said it was like a third party consultant, like somebody's watching his, you know, he's like watching his team from a distance. You know, so many of the replies I get when I tweet out Archie quotes is, well, isn't that his fault? And I think that was sort of another one of those moments where he's basically saying, like, it was even more direct that way. It's like the offense is giving you shots, you're just not making shots. And, you know, sort of calling his out. It did, you know, wasn't blatant about calling out his team, but that's basically saying, like, it's not my fault, guys. I'm getting you shots. This offense works. You just missed open three-pointers. So, you know, how is that my fault? Was sort of like the way it came off, I think, and certainly I think added more annoyance, I think, to the fan base that wants to see him own this a little bit more.
And how odd is it for Indiana that an Indianapolis boy, Aaron Henry, has a huge second half? I think he had 18 points of his total in the second half alone. To basically put the nail in the coffin for not only the Tuesday night game, but maybe the NCAA tournament hopes as well for Indiana. But he had a huge second half. Of course, he was a guy that was recruited by Indiana. I don't remember the details. Greg Doyle was talking some about this yesterday on the program. I don't remember if Indiana got in late on him, but he didn't really seem to seriously ever consider Indiana. But just kind of ironic in this wild season across the board and very much a struggling season here the last few weeks for Indiana to see a guy from our state really kind of, again, put the nails in the coffin for IU basketball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely an insult to injury thing for Indiana fans, regardless of how much of a chance they really had. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't on the beat yet. You know, when he was recruited, I hadn't come back yet. So I don't know the ins and outs of, you know, how close were they? Was it a situation where he just really wanted to go play for Izzo? You know, hard to say. I don't know what, and I mean, I've seen something about maybe Archie thought that Demese Anderson was the better option, or they put more of their, you know, basically just put more of their resources into going and getting Demese, who obviously didn't, you know, is no longer with the program after 2 years and not many minutes and deciding to transfer to Loyola. So that, I think, stands out. And again, maybe they couldn't have got him, but yes, it's absolutely a thing that when an Indiana kid comes back, does not matter if they really could have got him or not, Indiana fans will always feel like every kid in state should be at Indiana. And therefore, when a guy comes back and just murders you like he did, and not just, again, it really, you look at the two Aaron Henry performances, that's kind of the bookends of this collapse. I mean, you remember, you know, 27 in the game at Indiana is really when the downfall starts. So, you know, they were in great shape going into that game after beating Minnesota. They start off really well, up 19-6, and Aaron Henry just ripped their hearts out. And since then, they just have not recovered. So it absolutely adds some symbolism to it. Again, is it Archie's fault they don't have Aaron Henry? I don't know. But it's going to look that way. You know, again, you know, Romeo Langford's gone, you know, after a year, and Demese Anderson is gone, and basically the guys that they really put all their effort into after, you know, in that class, basically they were playing similar positions to Aaron Henry. Two of them are gone, and Aaron Henry is there just taking Indiana's heart out. So that's the thing that just is bothersome. Again, is that fair as far as how that looks? No idea, but all the same, guy scores, what, 45 points in two games against you, it's going to sting.
Yeah, for sure. Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier.
49, God, yeah. I see he had 22 last night. He had 18 in the second half. I keep forgetting.
Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier, my guest. Dustin, what should Indiana fans even expect or hope for the Saturday rivalry game in the afternoon to close out the regular season against Purdue? I guess, you know, at this point, the game is not necessary because, I mean, it's a game you always want to beat Purdue, right? The fans, whether they love Archie, hate Archie, the team has a chance at the NCAA tournament, doesn't have a chance. you want to beat your rival school. There's no question about that. So maybe that can help quell to a small extent some of the problems of this season. But what should fans even expect with some of these downtrodden performances that Indiana has put out here the last four or five games?
I mean, it's hard to expect anything. And I think you look at this game on paper now and you look at the way Purdue's guys are performing, you know, on an individual basis, especially if Indiana does not have Armon Franklin again, which doesn't seem likely, you know, because I think Archie Miller said he doesn't expect to see him back in the regular season. I don't know if he'll get to play in the Big Ten tournament or not, but bottom line, if they don't have Armon Franklin, you sort of start looking at Purdue's roster and there's a couple guys that you're like, well, who guards that guy? You know, who guards Jaden Ivey? Who stops Jaden Ivey on this roster right now? Al Durham, you know, all respect to Al. I mean, maybe they put, I mean, Hunter, I thought, did a good job on Henry in the first half, but if he can't stop Henry, Ivy, I think might be a better athlete. Henry's certainly a better player now, a more experienced guy, and knows where he wants to go and get his shot wherever that is at all three levels at this point. So, you know, Ivy's not at that level of maturity, I guess, as a basketball player, but he's special. You know, he is hard to keep away from the rim. You know, who guards that guy? And if you got somebody on that guy, okay, who you know, guards Brandon Newman and Sasha Stefana that can make sure those guys don't burn you from three? You know, like, I mean, Sinisi can match up with Eric Hunter, okay, like, that's not a bad matchup for you necessarily, but you're just looking at some of these defensive matchups and you're like, okay, well, how does that go? How are you going to stop all of those guys that they're going to be able to come at you? There's some matchups that aren't that bad. I mean, Race Thompson can hang with Mason Gillis, I think, and you know, Jackson Davis and Travion Williams is kind of a push. But especially that guards, there's just so much production coming from Purdue's guards. If you don't have Franklin, what do you do? And that's a tough thing. And they're playing really well. They're playing really well at home. They've got a lot of momentum. Again, Indiana has not gotten over this, you know, been able to beat Purdue anywhere in a long time. This whole group, you know, Al Durham is looking at 4 years of not one single win against Purdue if they don't win this game. So, I mean, they're going to be motivated, but ultimately this is a tough one for them to get. Purdue is playing really well. Purdue is looking like a 5 seed. Indiana doesn't look like it's going to get in. So there's nothing heading in that direction that says that they can do it. Now, I mean, is it possible? Sure. If they can hit enough shots, they step up on defense, take away some guys that have been pretty good. I mean, it's not impossible for them to stop that team. But it's hard to look at it as likely. I mean, Purdue has handled the people they're supposed to handle. Big win, you know, against Wisconsin last night. They're playing the way that you're supposed to play, going into the tournament. Indiana is not. They just basically have to be a different team than they've been the last four games. There's no other way to put it.
Final question or final talking point here quickly before we go. How about Illinois? My goodness, they not only beat Michigan, but do so. It was at Michigan, right?
Yeah.
At Michigan and by
a
number of points. I mean, it was quite a margin. So with Ohio State slipping a little bit here recently and a couple losses in Big Ten play, it looks like Illinois could join Michigan not only atop the conference, maybe as 1-2, but as a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. They are playing great without a player, without a key player.
No, absolutely. And I think you know, that their win coupled with, and as phenomenal as a game as it was, West Virginia's loss to Baylor. I think if West Virginia would have swung that one, they might have been able to swing 2-1 seeds for the Big 12 if they could have pulled that one off. So I think Illinois put itself in good position. I mean, I think the tournaments will define a lot because I think basically that fourth spot is very wide open. I mean, I think there's probably five or six teams that you could continue for the fourth one spot. There's teams that would be at three that aren't much worse than the fourth number one. There's just a pack right there with, you know, the Alabamas, Villanova, you know, there's a bunch of teams that fit there. Illinois, you know, Iowa, Ohio State, a lot of teams are sort of close in that group, but Illinois does seem to, that win absolutely puts them up a notch. You know, beating Michigan is certainly one of the best wins for anybody, this year. So that one makes a huge difference. That's going to catapult them. Definitely tells me a lot about Illinois that I didn't expect. I mean, it definitely seemed like Io was the guy carrying them. Kofi certainly was, reliable as just a mountain of a center to get things done in there. But then Kofi was phenomenal. Corbello was really good. Frazier was really good. You've seen those guys have good performances in the past, but you know, they've clearly been sort of the third options and there have been games where each of them didn't do that much. I like Corbello a lot. As a guy coming off the bench, but I mean, he hasn't necessarily been a guy that gets you what he got, you know, last night. But those two guys together stepped up. I think Adam Miller has performed really well in Io's absence. So a lot of people that have been able to sort of stand and watch, Io Douthings have been put in a position to have to contribute, and they've done so. And that, I think, tells you a lot about Illinois. That certainly, I think, makes them better. If now that they know, okay, we can trust these guys, and they understand themselves that they can produce, and they're not just there to watch Io, you know, be Big Ten Player of the Year. There's more to there's more that they can contribute. There's more that they have to contribute if Illinois wants to go far in this tournament.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak, the Daily Hoosier. You can read his coverage of IU basketball at thedailyhoosier.com. As always, Dustin, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, and with Indiana's, I believe, NCAA tournament chances all but over. What's left is maybe a chance in the NIT, and I read a story earlier this week that that field, I believe, is going to be limited to 16 teams because of the pandemic, and it's all going to be played in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it'll be interesting to see if Indiana has a postseason at all this year, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, as things unfold here over the next week or so with Big Ten Tournament getting underway. Josh Cook is next. That segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. And Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is my guest. Josh, we've got basketball coming at us from all directions, and that is a very good thing. Your thoughts, maybe a summary of opening night of state tournament play and sectional play last night here in Southern Indiana.
Busy night, that's for sure. I guess the one somewhat upset was Kai beating Rock Creek. Christian Cammy had beaten them really early in the regular season, like 42-39, I believe was the score. But this time around, they won by a little bit more. I actually made it to the end of the game, and it was Caleb Doss hit a huge three at the end of the third quarter to put him up 10 points. Then Rock Creek made a little run in the fourth quarter to kind of, and I thought they would, you know, come all the way back there, but Kai held them off and hit some free throws down the stretch. So that was probably the biggest game outcome that I saw last night. You know, Jeff took care of business, and Silver Creek took care of business. Providence edged Austin. That sounded like it was an exciting game. So, you know, it's rolling, and let's keep on going tonight.
That's News and Tribune sports editor Josh Cook. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. And Josh, as I look ahead to Friday, and I know we've got some more first-round games tonight at Charlestown, but as I look at Friday, specifically at Seymour and at Southwestern, we had Coach Grants and Coach Miller on earlier in the program, but if things work out tonight at Charlestown, we're already set for a Silver Creek-North Harrison matchup there, there's going to be some really good semifinal matchups at all of our local locations.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Friday night's going to be great. Should be some great games. It won't get much better than Silver Creek and North Harrison on Friday night at Charlestown. You know, two ranked teams going at it. You know, Silver Creek will be looking for revenge, and North Harrison will be looking to kind of shock some people. If they would beat Silver Creek, I believe it would be kind of a shock throughout the state. So, you know, and then Seymour, man, that's just going to be a dogfight Friday night and in those games. I expect New Albany to win against Bedford, but I think you were there at Bedford earlier this season. It was a close game, throughout, I believe, until New Albany kind of pulled away just a little bit at the end. But yeah, Floyd and Jeff, man, that's going to be a great, great game. You know, Floyd beat him during the regular season, but I think Jeff might be a different team now. 1 9 of 10 or 10 of 11, I believe it is now. So wow, that's going to be a great game. I guess if I would give maybe the ever so slight edge to Floyd just from the experience of last year and for Jake Heitbreeder, but man, that's going to be a great game. And then Providence, Clarksville, that should be another good one. You know, 3 points during the regular season, came down to the final seconds. So, you know, that should be very interesting. And then Henryville gets Southwestern, and then at Borden, we've got Borden against Kai, and you know, that should be a good game too, to see who plays the winner of Lanesville South Central, which should be Lanesville, obviously.
Yeah, should be some great ones this Friday and really this Saturday as well. Hey, sectional basketball, we'll take it no matter what. Just glad that we're still playing and look forward to moving on to the regional round when things conclude on Saturday night. Josh, got to talk about Silver Creek girls. We had Coach Shane on earlier in the week. We're in the process of organizing our traditional Night of Champions show featuring the Silver Creek Lady Dragons. We do that anytime that someone has a state championship here in our broadcast area. But you follow the team very closely this season throughout their tournament run, and you were even at the celebration on Sunday night there at the high school. Just special, special time. And this is the same. It's a repeat of when other local teams have won it, how communities come together, the memories that you see these players and coaches making that will last a lifetime. And collectively, when you put all these together, these state championships together, boys and girls, over a course of a number of years, it just strengthens, I think, the state's view of Southern Indiana, and that basketball, it may not get the love on the statewide level always that it should, but basketball down here is serious. We have some good teams. We have great players. And I think the thing that when I talk with fans or friends across the state, other places, the thing that really stands out when they see a state championship team or someone make a run in the tournament from our area is how great the fans are and the community support. It's just not that way everywhere anymore.
Yeah, it was, you know, obviously in 2019 when Silver Creek won, you know, that was unbelievable. And then when the Silver Creek boys won, that was unbelievable crowd at Bankers Life that night. And, you know, Silver Creek had a good showing again Saturday in the 3A girls game. Obviously, you know, there was limits of what could be done due to the, you know, the COVID and the amount of tickets available, but, you know, still a good crowd for Silver Creek, that's for sure. And, you know, it definitely shows, you know, like you said, the greatness of the basketball down here.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You can read all of his sports work in the print edition of today's paper and, of course, online at newsandtribune.com. And, Josh, thanks for all of your coverage, and we'll see you somewhere on the road this weekend at sectional tournaments across the area.
Sounds good, Matt. It's a great time of year.
Most definitely. Thank you, Josh. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. They can help if you're looking to raise money for your team or event. Let Major League's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit fans and raise money with very little effort. Find out more at mlshirtco.com. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Back with you Thursday, sectional basketball Friday and Saturday here on the Big X. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.